Good day! Thank you for tuning in to the Quick and Slow Comedy Show. I'm Aaron Maslow. Today on the show is Cassius Morris. This guy's only 18, but he's been doing podcasting since he was 9. And he's going to sit down with Nick, Jamie, and Tom and talk about some of his experiences in the podcast business. Pretty incredible, as he's interviewed people from Kiss and Megadeth. He's also interviewed the Larry the Cable Guy and Carly Rae Jepsen and many, many more. But he gets to talk to Nick and the rest about show business, essentially, and doing a good podcast and being in the limelight. And it's pretty interesting. Go check out our website, quickandslow.com, if you haven't already. We're going to have Cassius Morris's link to his website there, and you can check out all his podcasts. And also, if you're interested, Success 5000, a band in Edmonton, a duo, comedy duo, they just released an album, and we'll have a link to that as well. They're very funny. And if you're interested in more stuff from Alberta, you can check out northerncontent.com. I'll have a link to that on our website, quickandslow.com. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, we appreciate your frickin' faces.
It says more about you.
Yeah, like I saw him get out and I assumed he was going to go dance with him. And I'm glad that that's how it turned out.
Took it to a violent place, man.
Yeah.
Such a man.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Quick and Slow Comedy
intro?
Show.
That was the intro? Oh, man, I love this.
Yeah. Today, as always, I'm joined in studio by a very talented sound engineer, Tom.
Hello.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
It's going. I'm doing pretty good, you know. I'm alive.
Okay. That's a good update.
Is that good?
And as always, our executive producer, Jamie, the ball knoll.
Yeah. Knoll rhymes with ball. World, learn how to pronounce it.
There you go.
It's not nail.
Nail. And joining us for the first time ever, talented local podcaster, Cassius Morris.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem, man.
I always respect somebody, by the way, who has like a little rhyme or catchphrase for their name. I'd love to come up with one of those.
Like, I don't even Morris. Have one, but it just rhymes with
Nick
so many words.
Nick just literally made that up
wrong.
Just in this moment.
Yep, that was just me doing it different every episode.
I love it.
But, yeah, you started podcasting before I did.
I guess, yeah.
And thank goodness that you're not classified as a comedy podcast. Otherwise, I'd have to hand over my longest-running comedy podcast in Alberta title. But how old were you when you started your podcast?
I was 9 turning 10, I believe.
Jesus. What?
Yeah, man. It was weird. It was a weird... The whole thing happened in a certain way that I'd never sat down and thought, you know, I'd love to be a podcaster. It just kind of worked out that way.
Like,
weird.
How many people were doing podcasts then? Like, what was that? That was like 9 years ago?
Yeah, there was a pretty good amount. Corolla had been going strong for a while. There was a lot of rock and metal podcasts that had been doing it for a while because they were kind of the originators of it. Yeah. But then Joe Rogan started about a year after I did, and that's kind of when I started watching him. That made me say, okay, I kind of want to take this to another level and keep running with this.
Yeah.
Because I watched it gain attention. I watched Rogan's views go up to what they are now, from one of the very first episodes.
Yeah.
Incredibly inspirational.
Well, like, what inspires you to do it, though? Like, I mean, podcasts were, like, 9 years ago, podcasts were, like, unheard of.
I know, it's weird. Well, the thing is that I was a fan of something very nerdy. Well, I still am, but I was a huge Kiss fan back in the day.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know everything.
Love Gun, yeah, buddy.
Love Gun, man. Best album.
You guys are going to nerd out about this the
yeah,
whole
we
time
will.
Now.
But I wanted to know everything about Kiss, and I eventually found a podcast called Podkissed, which was all about Kiss, and they had even interviewed some original members of the band, and I was like, this is insane. Because I was looking at starting a fan magazine for Kiss, and then I realized, wait, it's not 1982. I said, why don't I just start recording myself talking about Kiss and just putting it online? And people actually started listening to it, to my shock.
Yeah?
And then I just kept progressing with that for a couple years, and I got tired of talking about Kiss. So then I started doing two podcasts, one about Kiss and then a solo one where I did whatever I want.
Yeah?
And then that evolved into me merging both shows to create the Cassius Morris Show, which is my current project.
Yeah, and you've had on some crazy, guests. You had on... some really high up there guests.
Yeah, I've been very lucky with it. I've had some members of Kiss on the show, members of Megadeth, Larry the Cable Guy.
And you went
wait, really?
Yeah.
This is real?
This is a real thing.
Holy shit.
This is the actual
Just for some background here, Cash, is usually when shit like this happens, it's a joke.
Yeah, eh?
Yeah.
Like we
I'll break on somebody and be like, so you interviewed God last week, but no, this is actually a real thing.
Don't steal my boyfriend.
Yeah, I won't. Trust me, I'll try not to.
Yeah.
No. He's not my type.
But you you went to the last Kiss concert here. You got backstage and did interviews.
Yeah, I went back, concert. Met the band. That was an interesting show because I'm starting to grow up a little bit now. I just turned 18, and it's kind of the age where you're just starting to kind of like be disillusioned about things.
Yeah.
And, you know, weed and Kiss doesn't mix. That's one thing that I think can really, a lesson that needs to be learned. So the show was a little bizarre to me, but otherwise, other than that, it was a good time. You know, they're still doing their thing.
Did you go backstage and smoke weed with Kiss? Is that what you're
No. Although I'm hoping that will happen. I have a suspicion that one of the members smokes, but I'm not going to put him on blast.
Yeah, maybe. Wow, sweet. And yeah, it's pretty cool. You started it so long ago, and like you had a really you had a slow grow, but now you've like you've steadily gone more and more and more. And you like I don't know, it was I think 2 or 3 years ago I saw you hit like 10,000 listens or whatever.
Yeah,
which is kind of a big benchmark. And
and
I think right after that you interviewed Carly Rae Jepsen.
I did. Yeah, that was a bit of a gong show.
That was another backstage one.
Yeah,
I think I got to see some of the Facebook Live on that.
Mm-hmm.
Which that was like the first time I'd ever seen Facebook Live before.
Yeah, I tried to jump in because I'm friends with this one guy on Facebook who really breaks all the technology. I never see anybody using, like, he was the first person I ever saw using Vine.
Yeah.
So whenever he starts using something,
I should get on Vine.
Yeah, I feel that's a
that's good timing, Nick.
I just invested millions in Vine.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get
it. Take some money out of my MySpace fund and then use it.
But so you kind of get a leg up on the technology there. For podcasting and everything, you're always like so I guess I'll tell the listener, I did your podcast a little while ago. And you like it, mine, I kind of have a studio where people come in. Yours is like mobile. You will go backstage to concerts to anywhere and do your podcast.
Yeah.
Like that, is there any downside to that?
No, I don't think so. I think it's more of an upside. Well, the only downside is that it's just me doing all the tech stuff. Like, I don't have an in-house producer or anything like that. So
Tom's a saint.
Yeah. I mean, that can be a bit of a downside because I'd love to have somebody do that. And that can
be done. You can't hear it right now, but I'm smiling.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's that's a bit of a downside when things stop working and I'm not sure what to do. But otherwise, it's an upside because I think that if you're trying to get a guest, they're probably more likely to do it if you will come to them. That's one of the things I learned. So.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit of a benefit. I just tell people, look, I'll show up and we'll knock it out for 15, 20 minutes and I'll leave. I'm like a groupie, sweet. But I don't fuck them, you know? It's perfect.
Well, when you do your podcast and everything, like the one thing that really surprised me, because I think I met you when you were like 16.
Probably even younger than that. I think 16? I turned 16 when I first started 15? Working at the club. Yeah, I was 15.
Like you're 15 years old and I met you and like you were already like a bigger deal social media wise than me. And I was like, how does that happen?
You're too kind.
No, because I remember the one time you were going to do comedy. You were going to do stand-up comedy and you had like a camera crew there to film you.
Yeah.
But there wasn't enough audience. The show got canceled. And then I think like a month later or something, you were at the club.
Yeah, I started working there, and it was kind of as a result of that. I was just kind of around, and they heard that I lost my job at Target when they closed, and it just worked out.
Yeah?
It's pretty interesting how things work out. Like, I don't... And, you know, it ended recently, which is something I'm fine with, too. You just got to kind of take it day by day. I guess opportunities come, and from working there, I've met you. I've met so many other people. So
you met like John Roy. You've had some really good comics on your podcast there.
Yeah, I was very lucky there, and I had a great time doing all the podcasts, and I had a great time working for them for the most part.
So now here's the thing that like I don't think a lot of people kind of realize when they hear a podcast. They listen and they enjoy it, and it takes like about an hour or whatever, and they're like, that's fun. About how long from like the process of booking somebody to it being posted on iTunes, about how much, like how many hours of work is a podcast?
Well, now it's become so much more because I've tackled video and I'm at a point where I want every single thing I do to be on tape.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's like not everything I do, but everything I do podcast wise, because I feel like that's kind of where the evolution of podcast is heading. So, but that being said, that takes so much work. Because it's just me. I don't have anybody helping me with this.
Yeah,
so I have to do the social media. I have to do the video. I have to edit the audio version. Then I have to edit the audio version for YouTube and take out the music. It takes forever.
It's almost like a job.
Like, it is a job.
Yeah. It takes up a lot of time having it all done and everything. And yeah, it's fucking impressive that you do it all yourself, man.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, to me, it is a job. And this is the thing, is that everybody wants instant gratification. They want it now. I want it later. Like, I'm doing stuff. I feel like whenever I put out a podcast, I'm cashing a future check for 5 years from now. And that's how I look at it. I try to look at it like a business now more than... Because for a while it was a hobby because I was a pretty young kid. But, you know, I'm just trying to change that thinking.
Well, and that's crazy, man. Because if, like, I think back to when I was 9 years old, like, there's nothing that I... Like, I mean, maybe furiously masturbating. But, like, other than that, everything else is completely different. Like, there's... I don't know. It was so, it's so strange that you had ambition at that age.
I think at 9 I was being a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I was probably doing both of these things. Yeah.
But
well, the ambition kind of came from, and that's why I thank Kiss, and I owe a lot of it to Kiss, is because I saw these people interviewing the band, and I said, that could be me if I work towards it. And, you know, that was my dream, to meet the band. And through the podcast, it worked. You know, I ended up meeting them. But it was almost like Kiss was almost an excuse to get into it, because now that Kiss isn't a huge part of my life anymore, I'm still going with the podcast, so I'm grateful for that. That was where the ambition originally came from, with that dream of getting a photo with the band.
Yeah, well, and I'm pretty certain you got that, didn't you?
Three times, luckily. Yeah, it was a crazy feeling. They didn't fly me in, but I flew into a different city to see them backstage the first time I met them, and they gave me the royal treatment. They're really great guys. They're absolutely phenomenal guys.
Yeah,
yeah.
Nice.
I only ever really watched like Gene Simmons' Family Jewels.
But I love that show.
He seems like a pretty decent guy, and his kids turned out good.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
Like,
they own a football team.
Yeah, but and also kids. They got raised by their mother too.
Well, yeah, and she's Canadian.
Yeah, she's Canadian. That changes everything.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We're so polite.
I feel like I'm learning so much about Kiss right now.
Well, you know, that's one thing about Gene, is that people think he's a douchebag, and in a lot of ways he is, but if you're...
And they're right.
He's a shrewd businessman.
Yes. And at the meet and greets, he doesn't know who got comps and who didn't, so he's assuming you paid over $1,000, so he's going to be nice for that 30 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of hard to have a bad experience with somebody in that amount of time in that setting, you know.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Kiss song?
Oh, man. Probably either I Want You or Love Gun.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Yeah.
Not Detroit Rock
City. I can
Rock
verify
City.
that's a good choice.
Yeah.
Not Detroit Rock City. You guys don't like that one?
Well,
I do like that
rolling
one.
All night.
No, that's probably one of my least favorite Kiss songs, especially the studio version.
Yeah.
On a rock and roll till I'm dead.
Yeah.
And they
kill
will.
Me now. Please.
I'm very not familiar with Kiss. Like, all of my Kiss knowledge comes from Gene Simmons.
Yeah. Which is a good show, and that got a lot of people into the band, too. That was good for him.
Well, he's a smart businessman. He
definitely
really is. But when you were at the comic strip, you were working the door and the sound booth, and I could walk in mid-show, and I would know whether or not you were in the sound booth based off of what was playing.
Right,
and it was, like, a lot of Black Sabbath, lot of, like, older kind of heavy rock, which is weird because you're a young guy. I would think you're more into, like, the pop and top 40 stuff.
Yeah.
That's racist against young people.
I think it's ageist.
I don't care what the word is.
Number isn't a race.
It's ist in some way.
Yeah, exactly. It's a biased.
Yeah. I mean, I actually am into now a lot of the music that a lot of other people my age are into. Like, I'm a huge Drake fan. I love all that kind of stuff. But I still, my original roots for music was rock and classic rock.
Yeah.
And I owe that all to my family, my parents, because I was walking in the CD store and my mom said, I'm going to buy you this Kiss CD. You might like this. And that completely changed my life.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember the clerk at the store was telling me how he met Gene Simmons, and Gene Simmons was like this close to him. And I was like just a little kid looking at the cover. So my parents really shared that love for music, and they instilled that in me, which I'm very grateful for that.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, and is music, like, is it something, I know, well, I kind of am asking a question I already know the answer for, but it's for the listener. Is music something you wanted to get into?
Absolutely, and I started playing the drums at a pretty young age, and about 2010, 2011, I've been playing ever since, and then the guitar, and it just, there's nothing like, for me, when I'm stressed out or something, I pick up the guitar, I pick up the drums, and I play. It's like, you go to a different place, you know. It's something that I love. I've done a couple gigs, actually, and it's something that I'd like to pursue in the future.
Yeah.
Seems like drumming would be terrifically cathartic.
Oh, it's something else. It's definitely an acquired thing. But it's a lot of fun. If you're into it, it's one of the best things you can do, especially because you're using your whole body. You know, not only are you getting the endorphins from actually playing, you're getting that physical.
Hit. Yeah.
I mean, you can imagine your enemy's faces on each cymbal. Just
it's found
it's the best.
Like, with music and podcasting and everything, like, it kind of seems like maybe one of these days the dream would be to get on stage and play with Kiss.
Yeah, well, you know what, man? I don't say never anymore, because when I was 10 years old in the fifth grade and I told everybody I was going to meet Kiss, they all laughed at me, and then it's happened, so I don't see any reason for anything to, you know, stop me at this point. So
yeah,
you never know. Exactly. They actually, Kiss is, and this is the last thing I'll say about Kiss. Kiss is.
Wait, no, there's going to be one more thing you're going to say.
Oh yeah,
about
we're going to say.
We're going to say a couple.
I've got a question.
Okay, but the funny thing about them is that they're actually planning on replacing all of the original members, including Gene and Paul, and then they're going to have Kiss 2.0 because they're so money hungry. They're literally going to be getting paychecks after they've even passed from other people being Kiss, and they were planning on starting a reality show about Gene and Paul, like, auditioning people to be the next Kiss.
What?
And that would be a really great show.
Yeah.
When you go and sign up for that show, what's going to be your Kiss sona?
Oh, man. I don't know. I'll have to think about that one. But I will be signing up, of course.
The Star Child?
Yeah, the Star Child.
It's already been taken.
Yeah. Oh, you can't just take one of the... I thought you were replacing them.
Hey,
oh, okay.
Ace Frehley, don't fuck your daughter.
The Moon please. Child?
That was just something Eugene Merman said when he was drunk once to Ace Frehley.
I like
that on his
cool.
album.
I hope this never happened.
You got a question about the... Kiss?
No, that was my question. Is what is your Kiss persona?
I think my Kiss persona would be like the lettuce man, the medicine man. Just like I'd just
you'd
be painted green.
Well, or you'd do like a weed leaf on your face.
Yeah.
Right, and then you'd be like a bass player that also plays drums, and it'd be just really like high.
Yeah.
What?
Just a joint in my mouth every time.
What are the Insane Clown Posse guys?
The Juggalos.
The Juggalos. Yeah. Is that?
I am 1 1/4 black. You know, you got to watch yourself.
Whoa. One,
I'm actually one and a quarter.
No. I'm half black.
That's quite the fraction.
Yeah. 1 1/4, man.
Jeez.
Got to respect it.
Blacker than Shaft.
Holy fuck.
With the Insane Clown Posse guys and their face paints and everything, do you kind of think that it comes from Kiss, or are they just trying to steal the limelight? Or,
well, I mean, what happened with Kiss was that they were influenced by Alice Cooper because he was doing the makeup, and they took that to the next level. So I think that acts like Insane Clown Posse, and there's a couple other bands out there like
Slipknot.
Yeah, Slipknot, Marilyn Manson. What's that other band that like... Rammstein.
Yeah.
I think all these guys were kind of influenced by it in a way. And they
Rammstein is absolutely transcendent. If you get a chance to see Rammstein live, you got to go.
That's what, like, I hear, yeah.
I don't care what kind of music that you think you're into, you got to see Rammstein. Fucking insane.
I hear they shoot fire out of their guitars.
Absolutely.
Oh. I was really hoping you were going to say butts.
They light the singer on,
like, it was going that way.
They light the singer on fire. The fucking keyboard player is running on a treadmill the whole show.
Am I going
like,
to
it's
be
insane.
Having to watch a lot of burn victims during the show?
Yeah.
They're not victims. They choose it.
But I got a question about a music performance here. How's the music?
Yeah.
Should that factor into it?
Oh, I mean, like, it okay, so there's this thing that, like, I used to work at Rexall Place doing security at concerts.
Nice.
Been to like 500 concerts there, almost 600 concerts there over the course of like 2 years. And there's this thing that I learned where like you walk into a concert thinking like, ugh, Justin Timberlake, this is going to be such a shitty show.
Right.
And then you walk out and you're like, you're tapping your toes and you're like, I actually kind of like Justin Timberlake's music now.
Yeah, man.
Because that was such a fucking great show.
That's the thing.
Definitely.
Fucking Madonna, I really give not very many shits about especially her new stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw her like last year and it was like, what the fuck?
Seriously.
I could have had my ears plugged and this would have been like a sensory overload.
Definitely. Like, yeah, I was at the first show of hers too, and I'd never heard any of her music, and I was blown away.
Yeah,
yeah, I loved it.
And that's the thing. Kind of that experience. What it really taught me is like music. When people talk about like, oh, I'm not into this genre of music, I'm not into that genre of music. Well, statistically, you're wrong. First of all, and second of all, like, why would you pat? Like, I know so many people that when U2 came through town, on their huge tour, that it was like. The security company that I worked for, they were asking for volunteers. You could see this show that people were paying thousands of dollars to sit in nosebleeds for free.
For free.
And you're like, I don't really like U2's music. I'm sorry. You're seeing one of the most incredible things that has ever happened.
The biggest shit ever?
Did he take his sunglasses off?
Yeah.
No.
Of course not.
Shit.
He can't look people in the eye like humans.
That's for weaklings.
I have so much money, but I ask you for yours. I can't look you directly in the eye.
Tonight, thank God it's them instead of you.
If I was charging that much for t-shirts, I couldn't look people in the eye either. These poor people.
Oh my God, they're like 80 bucks sometimes.
Ridiculous.
That is so crazy.
A smack in the, but you know what? That's the thing with a lot of artists is that, you know,
it's
when
where
you
they
really
get their
look
money.
Into it. That too, but they, sometimes they can't price things. You never know, right? These companies have a lot of pull with them.
Yeah.
They're employees for these companies.
When you when you sign a contract with stuff like that, it's sometimes you end up making, like, I know a lot of comedians that tour and they make enough money to almost pay for the flights of where they're going so that they have to sell the merch because otherwise they can't afford food.
Right.
Yeah. So
no, and Cassius brings up a good point too, is like when you get to a certain level and you're not really in control of your ticket prices or your shirts or whatever, then it's not fucking U2 that's charging you 80 bucks for a shirt. Mm-hmm. It's Warner Brothers because they're greedy fucks.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right?
100%.
But I know a lot of artists these days are kind of like, I know some have gotten dropped from label deals because they're like, no, you can't charge our fans that much to go see a show and shit like that. And I know lots of artists, they're pretty adamant about pricing their shit properly, so...
Yeah, it's a fine balance from what I hear. And that's funny because you hear Kanye West always screaming about how he's marginalized by corporations. And people say, oh, that guy's nuts. That guy's mentally ill. Well, when you listen to what he's saying, people yell at him for having $350 sneakers. But the reality is he can't change that price. Yeah. So who do you want to yell at, him or Adidas?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Most people would yell at him.
Yeah, definitely. And they still will.
Adidas doesn't have a face for them to yell at.
Yeah, exactly. It's just
a
little
they
picture.
Do. It's Kanye West.
Yeah.
Well, and it's strange, too, for like, I mean, me as a comedian right now to be like, I would never charge more than $20 for a show I'm in. And then, like, the reality of it being like, I talk with a promoter and they need to rent a venue, and to make them enough money, they need to charge this. So it's like, it's easy to look ahead and be like, oh, I would never do what they do. But I mean, we've never walked where they have. So
exactly. And we've never sat in those meetings, you know, about with those $1 million deals.
Yeah.
I've stopped saying I'd never do that after I did a whole bunch of things that I never thought I'd do.
Yeah. And then you're like, nothing's off the table.
Jamie killed a homeless man last night.
Last night.
That was you, Nick.
Jamie is framed.
But, I'm going to go. No, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, I think it's a really good point is that a lot of people, they idealistically will say like, oh, I'll never charge more than this. But it's like you don't have the full understanding of the costs and all the work that like the servers are doing and these people. And once you start to see all the wheels, then you start to be like, okay, that's worth it. And then it really kind of opens your eyes to other things that are, you know, you think like, oh, that's like you go to some fancy sit-down restaurant and you're like, oh, that's really expensive except for this, you know, chef who's been working for 40 years to make you this meal.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
definitely, man.
Slow cooking, but...
Yeah.
And if you don't have that machine behind you, you end up having to do all the fucking work yourself.
Yeah.
And you'll end up like Fugazi living with a roommate when you're 45.
Right.
Or 50.
It's a route you can take, though. You can take the route to do everything yourself and like kind of bypass the corporations. It's being done, but it is difficult.
It's a lot of your own legwork.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, the business part of show business is the worst.
Mm-hmm.
It is horrible. It is terrible. And I mean, I have meetings and negotiations and contracts and all this stuff that I got to work on. And I just want to be funny. Why can't I just be funny? Why?
Right.
Because there's so much law involved in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Kiss's drummer on my show, he was saying that, and I thought it was interesting. He was saying it's called the music business, not music friends.
Yeah.
And that goes with everything. It is a business. People need food on their tables, and this is their job.
Definitely.
So, yeah, it's just interesting. But now with you guys, let's say that like a television company or something came to you guys for this podcast.
Yeah.
And they, yeah.
My answer is always yes.
They offered you a ton of money to change the show and do a ton of things you didn't want to do. Would you take the deal?
Absolutely. I would always.
Well,
because that would give me the platform to be able to then maybe make some money and do what I wanted later.
Here is the only deal breaker that would stop me from signing that is if they limited me in other fields.
Yeah.
If they said, you're doing our TV show, you can't do comedy, you can't do podcasts, you can't do this. Because now what they're doing is they're taking away options, and then it's a job. Like, it's basically, you're just paid to work at Target, and now I can't do the things I love, which is stand-up comedy, which is stuff like that.
Yeah, no, that's basically my caveat.
So,
And I think if they're coming to Nick for the show, they want the show, I like to think. And so when they're asking you to change the show, either they have it in their, like, it's in your best interest, like, it's good feedback.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, yeah, we can do that. Or it's like, well, why are you coming to me for this then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why are you hiring me to do this? Like, why didn't you hire somebody that does that?
Yeah.
Right. You know?
If they're like, yeah, we want this podcast, but we want you guys to trade hats every 3 minutes. It's like, yeah. Why don't you get a hat? why is this me? Why is this not a hat thing? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's get the other guys.
Yeah, get some sort of hat swapper off YouTube or some sort of thing, because apparently they're... I found out a YouTube guy made $1 million off a video of him throwing hats on people's heads, and it's just been eating me
alive.
Did
they get, like, and I'm jealous. On his head, though?
Yeah, he was throwing it from, like, 20 feet away, 40 feet away, flipping it. He threw one off a building onto another guy.
Well, Nick, maybe learn a valuable skill like that, and you'll become a millionaire.
Yeah,
as well.
Other than not killing women.
Yeah, that's my main skill. It's totally not killing women.
There's also the guy who, he has like a hot knife channel. He literally just heats up a large knife. Yeah.
Oh, I watch those.
Yeah, well, when you're high, those are good.
The thing I recently discovered is Tiny Kitchen.
Tiny Kitchen.
Where a guy or a girl, I don't know, the hands look a little mannish, but pretty soft, I'm not sure. They just have a tiny kitchen, and they make
tiny grilled cheese and tomato soup.
Food. They made a tiny flan. They will crack little quail eggs.
Look at the little onion.
It's a wee onion.
It's a shallot, bro.
Okay, what is a shallot?
It's like a garlic oniony cross, yeah, but it's its own thing.
It's a tiny onion.
Oh, okay. If you can't explain to me what a shallot is without saying tiny onion, then I'm just going to say it's a tiny
onion.
Say
it's an onion.
It's its own thing. It's related to ghost garlic and onions.
A spade is a spade. Just saying.
And it's a fucking shovel.
And the ace of spades.
The ace of spades. Rest in peace to the legend.
Yep.
And when you order a Jack and Coke at the bar, folks, order a Lemmy and make that thing catch on, because people tried.
Yeah?
Yeah. Keep it going on.
Yeah.
It's called a Lemmy.
Yeah, Motorhead was delicious. Oh. So good.
Insane.
Yeah.
I love how they took that classic musical influence from like the blues stuff and then they made it hard metal.
Yeah.
I really respect
that. Exactly. I think it's one of those things, and a lot of people, because we were talking about Kanye West earlier, a lot of people look at Kanye and they don't see a lot of things. Like when he did his, the Harder, Faster, Stronger, and like it got a lot of people into Daft Punk, into
totally
like, the original stuff. And it was like, he was being true to them. And I mean, they made money off of it. So when people are like, oh, he's talentless, and I'm like, no, he's actually here. The one thing that I don't think anybody could ever say about Kanye is that he's talentless.
He's an amazing producer.
He's incredible.
Very talented.
He's an incredible artist.
He's he's very narcissistic.
Sure.
I think, and this is me just being kind of philosophical about it. I think when people talk about talent, they're, they don't really know what they're talking about. Because when I think of somebody that's like, oh, Tom, you're such a talented guitar player. And I'm like, well, no, I'm not. I just have done this for a long time and I'm finally kind of okay at it.
Yeah.
And it's like they don't understand the work that went into it. Mm-hmm. And it's like I find that most people that try to talk about talent, it has less to do with actual talking about talent and more about like I don't want to I want my opinions to sound as fact.
Right.
Yeah, I think the newer comics will come up to me and be like, oh, you're so funny, this is funny. And it's like, I'm like, yeah, but you just started. You didn't get to see all the times that I failed.
Right.
All the horrible. And I mean, that's what it is. I always say you learn to walk by falling. So
definitely, man.
It's all about struggle.
And that's the interesting thing about podcasting versus comedy is that, like, with podcasting, people will see those failures and they're going to keep seeing them. But, you know, with stand-up, it kind of fades away, but it's okay, because like whenever I look back on something that I've done and I cringe, I'm like, hey, I learned. I'm cringing, meaning I'm not going to do it again.
Yeah.
You
know? So why not, right?
Yeah.
The worst podcast you've ever done?
Oh, man. There's been a couple. There's been a couple that I haven't released because they were just so bad. I'm not going to name names, but it was with a comedian. And this guy...
You have to name names.
Sweet. No, well, my episode aired, so it wasn't me.
It was nobody from the Edmonton scene. But this guy, he's so good at being fake nice that I actually thought he was a nice guy. Well, like, we talked for a week planning this podcast, and I was like, this is a really genuine dude. And I sat down, I'm like, man, this guy's a douche. Like, I don't even want this guy on my show. So,
jeez.
I talked to him for like 15 minutes, and there was no chemistry. I was like, okay, thanks, man. Gotta go.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I'll always usually go through with it till the end, but sometimes it can be kind of rough.
Sound like an abused wife.
Yeah.
I'll go through with it to the end, but I won't like it.
I tried to not burn the roast, honey. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's, oh.
But yeah, there's been a couple. You know what? And I'm going to be honest. The Carly Rae Jepsen one did not go over very well.
Yeah.
Simply because I was trying to, I was new to Facebook Live as well.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm just going to do Facebook Live. I didn't realize how terrible the connection inside of Northlands Coliseum in the basement in the dressing rooms was.
Yeah.
So my connection completely cut off. I wasn't expecting that. So then I started filming on my actual cell phone camera with her.
Yeah.
And it says I'm out of storage. So that's why the full thing never really was released. So that one was pretty bad. That gave me a pretty bad bad name with a certain music executive who I'd love to repair that if you're listening.
Yeah. Well, something like that, like that's, I think, one of the things where it would be, for me, for like some of the video podcasts we do here, it would be impossible for me to like set up the camera, mm-hmm. have the shots, yeah. and do the interview and be spontaneously, like that would just, there's no yeah. way I could wear all those hats.
It's difficult, but the thing is that you look at the most successful podcasts on the internet, I'd be hard-pressed to find one that doesn't also have video.
Yeah.
The Corolla Show has video now, Joey's doing video, everybody's doing video, and I'm kind of sitting here thinking, well, I'm not nearly at their level, and I'm going to be even more left behind if I don't have that.
Yeah.
So for me, it's worth it, but you know, it's not for everybody. There's a lot of audio podcasts that do really, really well. So yeah. you don't have to do it, but yeah.
you definitely don't. But I think that there is an audience for it.
Definitely. And 100%. People like it. The Facebook clips is a big thing too. If you put like a minute long entertaining clip of your video podcast on Facebook, that'll go a long way. Yeah. I've found. Yeah. So
I got to say, if I have a theory about why, it's probably because TV sucks. It's total garbage, and people still want that familiar TV-esque content.
Sure.
And so having a talk thing that they don't have to go to TV for,
mm-hmm.
it's killing. It's killing.
Definitely. The very little dialogue that I have with the listeners, it's usually like they either like they're listening to it while they're driving. Is like the number one,
mm-hmm.
or they're like cooking or sewing or something.
Cooking, it's fun to listen to podcasts.
So
people listen to sewing while we pretended to be Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah, people listen to this episode, listen to these while they're working a sewing machine, which just, I can't figure
just,
out.
Just quilting, hey, brother.
This is so relaxing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I, hey, man, you don't get to pick your audience.
But that's the thing I love about podcasts. And it's funny when somebody who isn't really familiar with what a podcast is goes to listen to your show, and yeah. they just sit at their computer. The podcast isn't your primary activity. You're supposed to be doing something while you listen to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I said, driving is mm-hmm. the number one.
When I worked at a desk, that was all I did.
Yeah, just podcasts. Huh? Helps pass the time, especially.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Help fight that crippling loneliness.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like listening to – like right now, this will sound weird. I don't listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to audiobooks.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I love audiobooks.
Yeah. It's.
I know why.
What?
It's because you can't read.
Oh.
I remember that.
You can't read?
No, I can read. Okay. I'm the head writer of a goddamn show.
Lies.
Could you imagine if I could
writing
write,
and reading
but not
are the
read?
Same thing.
Where it's like I write something, hand it in, they're like, what is this? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. This is comedy genius.
Well, Nick, you do have brain damage.
I do have some slight brain damage. I had to learn how to write. I got hit in the head with a brick.
Had to learn to write, not backwards.
I feel like everything that's ever happened to somebody has happened to you. You're like, yeah, I got stabbed that time on the moon. And
I've lived a very exciting, like in my 20s, I didn't say no to a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I remember my one buddy was like, hey, let's go skydiving. I'm like, yeah, sure. And he's like, let's do mushrooms first. I'm like, yeah, sure, why not?
Fuck.
So the first time I ever skydived, I was strapped to another man on mushrooms.
Oh, man. Even the strapped to another man part, like, I can't even handle that on the ground if I was on mushrooms. Fuck being in a plane.
I know.
I can't handle it. I hate mushrooms.
Yeah?
I hate mushrooms. And that's just me. I have no problem with anybody else doing them, but for me, nah.
I still have never smoked weed. I have a legal medical marijuana license.
What is your problem?
Indeed, a friend pure with weed is better.
Morning. Hold on, don't sing more than 20 seconds or we'll get sued.
Morning.
As far as I can't afford to sing Happy Birthday today.
Yeah, we can't afford to get that song going. I don't know if you're comfortable talking about your drug consumption.
Yeah, sure. I don't care. I'm 18 now, so it doesn't bother me.
I suppose it's all legal.
I'm a legal patient, so.
A legal patient. There you go. But yeah, you kind of are almost an expert on weed now. You appeared on Joey Diaz's podcast and talked to some of the more infamous potheads. So.
I think I've earned my stripes in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really something that I've made part of my quote-unquote brand as of yet, just because I was too young. But yeah, you know, now that I'm a card holder and all that, it's not something I'm really shy of talking about. And it's, I mean, I think that if you actually believe in something, like I believe it should be legalized, and I believe that there should be no stigma against people who use it. So I will say that on my show and have no shame about it.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think that it should be legal. I think that it should be like regulated in some way. Like you kind of like how we have cigarettes.
Yeah.
Like you can go and buy it, you get ID kind of thing. Cause I like, I don't hear a lot of negative stories that come from like,
oh,
I mean,
I ate all that pizza.
Yeah. Oh, I ate all your Doritos.
Oh, it's totally not a negative story to throw like millions of black men into jail for weed possession.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's the
yeah,
that, yeah.
The one
yeah. But I believe that actually works for my argument than anything.
That's a consequence legalization. From the law, not from the use.
Yeah, I got your back, Nick.
Yeah, but the the whole thing, like, I've never smoked it, and I'm currently talking with some filmmakers about a documentary that we could do where I will smoke weed for the first time. So
you can't even, like, you're holding out for the deal.
I'm holding out for money.
Yeah.
Because why would I ever smoke weed for free?
That.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
That's a waste of everything.
Yeah, let's get paid. You hold off on it, and then you get paid. But it's another thing, and I really like that you're the exception to this, is a lot of people say, like, potheads don't have any ambition or anything.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you are, I guess, quote-unquote pothead, but you've got, like, you're working your butt off on your podcast all the time. You're working your hustle.
Definitely. And that's the thing for me is that's the only reason, or that's the only way I could even find it acceptable to be broadcasting that. Because I'll put on my Snapchat me smoking a 2 gram blunt, and then I'll tell you guys about the next thing that I'm going to post. And I plan it in that way because people are going to think that, you know, after I smoke that blunt, I'm going to go eat pizza. Really, I'm going to go edit for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to show that it's nothing to do with it. I'd just rather be high while I do it. I think I have every right to do that as a human being. So
you do.
And everybody does. So
it just makes life better.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't think it's something for all the time. Like if I'm doing a podcast or something, I won't smoke before, but after, whatever.
Yeah, but I think that's something like, I mean, I kind of have an unwritten rule. I'm not much of a drinker, but I never drink before I go on stage.
Yeah.
Because like that's work. That's my job. Mm-hmm. I gotta be there for it. So you want to be in your right state of mind.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's absolutely a rule with the band. I'm like, I'll never be playing a show and somebody is drunk behind me. Like, you're fired immediately. Don't even put yourself into a position like that.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason for it.
I had a guy ask me on YouTube, oddly enough, what is some advice for starting out in comedy? And he's like, I'm really nervous. And I said, don't get drunk before your show. Yeah. Because, I mean, you working at a comedy club, you have seen some terrible comedy go up there.
I've seen some nightmarish
performances. Oh, yeah. You've seen some horrible bobs. There's been some times, because I'll go and hang out in the sound booth with you, and we'll just stare at the stage and be like, what the fuck
what
is
happening in this building right now? People paid for this?
Oh,
But then I've seen some of the most incredible. I've seen, like, when TJ Miller came to that club, and he rocked that place for like 3 shows in one night. I've never laughed so hard at work.
Yeah,
I mean, there was some beautiful moments at that club that I'll never forget. I mean,
Bert Kreischer
was a lot of fun. I realized that somebody I look up to has a severe alcohol problem, but that's okay. Bert's an interesting character.
Everybody's
for
got
sure.
their struggles.
Yeah, I wonder about Bert sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, he's so nice, though. Such
he
a
is.
Friendly dude.
He's a, he's a great guy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you've seen some of the best and some of the worst, but getting up on stage doing comedy is, like, it's a whole other beast. And, like, everybody sees it, and they think, like, with podcasts, with music and everything, they see the results, and they don't know the struggle that goes into it.
Definitely.
The amount of, like, being terrible. And, it is. It's also one of these weird forms where people think that they can replicate it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're not up there playing drums. You're not up there doing something that, like, looks hard. Because the secret of comedy is to make it look easy.
Yeah.
So people will look at it and go, like, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would welcome any one of them.
Yeah, please. Hey, I've said I can do it. And I probably can do it. But I don't think I can do it to the level of any, you know, professional comics unless I really put my mind to it. But, like, you know, that's anybody. I mean, but some people, it's just not for them. And they just are not able to do it. It's pretty unfortunate when you see those people. But at the same time, how do you guys feel about it? Like, do you respect that they're going for it still? Or at a certain point, is it like it's time to wrap it up?
I respect that they're going for it. But I don't know.
I think everyone's allowed to have a dream.
Yeah.
Sure.
But, like, that being said, don't ever get, like, disillusioned. Because there are some people that have been doing comedy like as an amateur for 2 years. And then they're like, "Hey, I'm ready to headline. I'm ready to do this. I'm the best around. I'm better than this person and that person." It's like, no, you're not. You are delusional. You're allowed to like love this art.
Speaking of someone in particular?
Yeah. You're allowed to love this art. You're allowed to like go forward with it. You're allowed to pursue your dreams and everything. But like I didn't headline until people were offering me. They're like, "Hey, can you headline? Here is the money."
Yeah.
So like, because at that point I got good enough that I was worth it. Because with comedy, the thing was, I struggled for a bit, and for like 2 years, and then somebody started paying me for comedy, and I'm like, "Oh, I'm good enough now that people put a value on it."
Right.
So that gave me a bit more confidence on stage. But I've like, and this is one thing, even with the manager, the comic strip and stuff, I don't ask for weekends at all. I've never like, I don't ask for time. Because I want to be good enough that people are offering it to me.
Sure.
So, and I mean, yeah, that's kind of a shitty business thing because you do need to put yourself out there. But, like, I would rather grow slow and well than grow too fast.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta find the balance because you got to push yourself. But at the same time, you don't want to get yourself into a squat rack with, like, 300 pounds and then just fucking crumple and die.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think a big problem with that is like a lot of people, because they don't know all this. This is a running theme of this episode. They don't know all of the shit that all of the everything that goes underneath that tip of the iceberg that they see.
Yeah.
They think they can just dabble in it
and
oh, it's just going to be a lot of fun. But then they get up in front of this insurmountable amount of work and it's like, well, no, that's fine. It's want to do that. But people, they just, like, and there's nothing that kind of, like, irks me more than people that do a lot of work to just tip of the iceberg.
Right. And then, once it gets to that point. Yeah, that's an interesting thing. That's something I've struggled with quite a bit, because when I first went to the comedy club, to like, just not even working there, I was, like, 16 or whatever, and they basically offered me everything. They were like, you can have your own weekly live show where you interview people. You can go up and do stand-up whenever you want. If you're good enough, we'll start booking you for weekends, and maybe things will even progress from there. They gave me a door deal where I could get all the money from the tickets, and I didn't take it. Because at the time, I couldn't have told you why, but now looking back, I'm almost glad I didn't, because I wasn't ready for it, and
do you think
I didn't work.
You would have, like, your audience would have felt, like, cheated at that point?
Possibly, just because I looked at it then as just a hobby, and I don't think that somebody who isn't 100% dedicated to it should deserve that opportunity.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. So I'm almost glad that I didn't take it, but now if I was to be offered that opportunity, I would take it in a heartbeat, because I've been... It's all I think about. All I think about is how can I make this better.
You've been busting for it. I kind of call it they're, at least in the music scene, I call them future dads, where it's like... You know, they're just here to get a bunch of stories to tell their kids about how, like, yeah, you can have this guitar that I used to play. We used to play all these cool shows with all these cool bands and shit, but we're, like, we're really just dads in disguise right now.
They just want a story to brag about.
Yeah, and it's like, get off my fucking stage, man. Like, I am literally not getting stage time because you're in my damn way. And, like, the thing about future dads is like one band that I used to know, they went down to do a show in Calgary and then they came back up and it was like, "Oh, hey, how did it go?" And they're like, "We got paid $150." And I was like, $150 each? and before I tell you that I'll just tell you right away. It was $150 for the whole band.
Classic.
To go down to Calgary in two cars, rent a hotel, play a show, sleep overnight in the hotel, and then drive back in two vehicles.
Wow.
They got paid $150. So Thanks, future dads.
So they lost
now
$100.
Now that's all I'm worth.
Yeah.
They got compensated for, like, less than half of the expense to
They literally paid to play that show.
But here's the one thing that I'd point out that would take away from that, because I've had comedians undercut me on gigs before where a gig's been offered to me, and I state, and then they go in and say less, is in something like that, I contact the booker and apologize on behalf of whatever gig they had, because I'm certain at that point that I would have done a better job.
Yeah.
So and at that point, it's your talent that sets you apart from those sort of future dads.
Yeah. Right. It's the difference between a price tag and actual value.
Yeah.
Is right. what it
exactly.
is.
That's true.
And I mean, that's kind of like, you can go like, and now that's what I'm worth, or you can go, or that company learned its lesson and they're going to be paying the appropriate amount for the appropriate comedy. So, I think, like, once again, the business side of show business is so tricky and so cutthroat. And
definitely.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, podcasts are free. People can just just enjoy it. You don't got to pay for it. It's wonderful.
For sure.
Nobody can undercut me on my podcast.
Yeah, exactly. You're your own boss. It's the best. I hate to be this guest, but do you mind if I run to the washroom real quick?
Yeah, not at all. We can take a little break.
All right.
Hi, everybody. This is Josh.
And this is Robin.
And we're
Success 5000.
Local musical comedy duo. Maybe you've heard of us.
I was going to say maybe you heard of us.
Oh, gotcha. Too late now. I already said it. Moving on. We recorded an album recently.
Yeah, and we put it online for you to buy.
Yeah, it's called We'll Fix It in Post. It's available at success5000.bandcamp.com for only
10 bones.
10 bones.
Not human bones, just like cash money.
Like a euphemism for money.
Like a euphemism for money.
Yeah, anyway, spend your money at our website and do the thing and get the stuff and love us. Please.
Success5000.bandcamp.com.
Yep.
Get it.
One more for safety.
Bye.
These days, but
I think in the listener count, you're probably ahead of me, so I can take that.
Yeah, maybe. But the you have on. Like, you, because you do have your Facebook for the podcast.
Yeah, facebook.com/Cash's Show, yeah.
And then do you have Instagram and Twitter also, or is that just your personal one?
The Instagram's personal, but the other, basically all my other accounts are for business. I have, like, my business photos, but my Instagram's actually locked, so if I know you, I'll let you in there.
Okay.
A couple squinty-eyed photos on there that I try to hide from Facebook and everything else. So.
Yeah. That's actually, sorry to interrupt your question there, Nick. That's actually an interesting question. How do you separate your public persona from your private one?
Oh my god, this is actually very topical for me.
Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Nick just got his first stalker.
Not my first. I just got my first dedicated.
Are you
stalker.
Following me? Why no? I'm stalking you.
Yeah. There's a big difference.
This lady was liking my stuff on Instagram and she sent me a message saying, like, you're my favorite comedian, and I was like, oh, here's my fan page. And then she went,
what if she's
from
listening to this right now? The odds that she isn't listening is pretty low, I think.
I encourage her to stop listening
Nick
to this find a better idol.
Nick
stalk
now
me.
Lives under a pseudonym.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, my God. Nick, you're almost going to become... Nick definitely killed a woman McQuaid. It's almost about to happen. You're moving on up, buddy.
I think I hear a knock at the door. Is that the woman? Sounds pretty feminine.
Yeah, what a prophecy. What a self-fulfilling prophecy.
For a second, I was like, pizza?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What a joke.
Yeah, so I had to change my Facebook, my personal profile. I had to, like, change all the security settings. And, like,
shit, eh?
Because... yeah, she was going down my friends list, asking my friends for my phone number.
Classic. Wow.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, you're blocked. You are blocked as hell.
That's scary, man. Yeah, people can get weird. I had the guy the other day who messaged me, just very nice. Hi, I just heard your podcast, whatever. I'm a huge fan of Joey and all those guys. Where can I contact them? I said, well, message him on his Facebook page. And then he starts messaging me for my phone number. And then he starts messaging me, say, do you have Joe Rogan's phone number? Do you have Joey Diaz's phone number? I'm like, no, I don't. He's like, well, can you email them for me? I said, no. He's like, why not? I was like, I just can't. And he just continued to just message, do you have Joey's phone number? Why can't I talk to him?
Oh,
people
man.
Get weird out, like, there, man.
I don't understand why people don't understand the concept of, like that's basic privacy.
Definitely.
Like,
boundaries,
don't
man.
Give out someone's phone number unless they have said it's okay to give out my phone number.
Definitely.
Like, doesn't everyone just know that that's a thing?
Yeah, they should know.
If I ever become in the government, I'm going to make it so that there's a class in every school where... for one entire hour, from the time you're in kindergarten until you graduate grade 12, you just say no for an hour. No.
Just
everybody
no.
just practices
Seriously,
saying no.
I had a tweet about that. I'm like, why did I learn conics and not fucking boundaries?
Yeah.
Right? Because, Seriously, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about that. What the fuck?
I think when you apply for your job with... government, as you said, they're going to be saying no really hard there.
Just general.
Good,
government.
You're on the right track.
Yeah.
I mean, the tight. It was a tight race. No, it wasn't.
No.
But how do you, like, with Tom's question, how do you determine what is like your personal and what is your public?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, it's a little bit difficult because, like I said, when I was underage, there were certain things that I tried not to reveal about myself, just for my own family's sake, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it just doesn't look very good. But it's difficult. I guess I just keep the Instagram locked up. I keep the Snapchat locked up mostly. I did create a second Snapchat because I do think that's good marketing for a show to have a Snapchat page. I just want to reach people everywhere that they can be reached about it.
Yeah.
Basically.
I felt with, like, when Snapchat and Instagram started making a baby together, I kind of felt that, like, I just went with Instagram because I had more of a following. Mm-hmm. But when Instagram added stories and Snapchat added long, like, yeah. permanent photos, I'm like, you're the same thing now.
Yeah,
you're
literally. The same thing. They crossed over to be each other to yeah. and defeat then I, each other.
Except yeah. for Snapchat's logo. So ugly.
Just kidding.
Jamie thinks it looks like a ghost
I
booger.
Can't download it because I cannot have that, like, just absolute, like, fucking, it's pissing on design.
An abomination.
It's an abomination. That ghost takes design. It takes everything I learned in school and pisses on it.
Just the funny part is that they have so many different variations on the app. Like, they'll have one with hard eyes and one that's, like, sad. It's, like, yeah. all horrible.
I just hate its stupid little dinky arms and then the fact that it has an outline.
Yeah.
Those are the two
Can
things
we just do an hour-long podcast about Jamie just complaining about the Snapchat logo?
Yes.
She does not like it.
I will give you the material.
She does not like it. So, yeah.
I know.
I felt like I had spread myself too thin with, like, a Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, doing the podcast, and then, like, booking tour dates and doing comedy and all. And, like, I was like, I just have too much. So I was like, Snapchat and Instagram became the same thing for me.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'll do like a tweet a day, Monday through Friday usually, because it's kind of like work. And it's like, there's where a joke goes.
Right.
And then Instagram is usually just like pictures of me or a banana or something weird that's happening. I had a picture of a banana in a frying pan that got 100 likes. I don't know. And then Facebook, my Facebook, like the Nick McQuick one, I just give away tickets to all my dates. I promote my shows. I give free tickets to all the fans.
I like that, by the way. Yeah. I really like that.
It's like, because I mean, the thing is, like, and I've had so many people go like, you should charge people, blah blah blah, and I'm like, no, fuck, I'm not making any of that money. What I'm doing is I'm going to the club and going like, hey, I can fit this many people in this seat, book me more often.
Yeah,
here's the value I bring, is this audience,
right?
And I get to show them the value, so like, they're doing me a favor by coming out, so it's kind of a mutual thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I give them free tickets, and, like, I never ask, like, hey, yeah, you'll get free tickets if you go and, like, follow me on this and that. No, it's no hoops to jump through. Just fucking ask me, and I give tickets.
I hate it when people do that. You follow me on Instagram and then Twitter, and then you can get two tickets.
Yeah, and you'll be entered for a chance to win this or get these. Yeah, or, yeah, no.
But keep your phone off during the show. Yeah. Like, sending mixed messages here.
I don't like any of the jumping through hoops stuff, so I'm just like, yeah, just get at me on my Facebook fan page. You get free tickets. And with the podcast, we always do a monthly giveaway for something, usually a board game or a bottle of vodka or something like that. So, and it's like, I give that away, and all I ask there is
t-shirts.
Yeah, t-shirts.
Yeah, nice.
Like, comment, subscribe, and then you get it, kind of thing. Just so that, like, because otherwise people will like or comment, or like, they'll miss one.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, I don't know if they wanted it, or if they actually, like, did they like this because they wanted to win it, or did they just like it?
Just scrolling through type of thing.
They just scrolled through and liked it, so they might not even know it. So I kind of have a little bit of a hoop, but that's because I have to spend money to mail things to people, so I'm at a loss for that.
Yeah, but it does go a long way, because the people who are going to get the most work are the people with the built-in fan base.
Yeah.
Your fans come with you if you're doing things like that, and the clubs will take notice, and obviously they're calling, so it's working.
Yeah. It works.
And that's kind of my business plan, too. I look at what you do, and I respect it. I try to take after it a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to do, because when the next level comes, be that a TV, podcast, or some other thing, I will have a built-in audience.
Nice.
It's a good thing to have.
Okay. Well, the pizza's here, so...
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you want to check out more, go to northerncontentnetwork.com. Podcasts in your face.
Gotta save the world. Changes.
Later, we have to watch the Coke video of them.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We totally endorse whatever product you just heard, or service, or show, or whatever. I don't even know.
As do I.
Yeah, Tom, what sort of thing are we going to put in there?
Freezing.
Do you have any gigs coming up that we're promoting?
No, we're kind of in between gigs. I think what we're going to do is we're going to get into Rockin' for Dollars.
Oh.
So for those of you that don't know what Rockin' for Dollars is, it's every Monday at the Buckingham. They do a show.
It's going to have some hiccups right now, isn't it?
They have 8 to 10 bands, and they play 3 songs, 2 of which are originals, and one is a cover. And one of the songs that we've been working on lately is a cover, but the drummer doesn't know about it because he hates doing covers.
Okay.
So we didn't tell him.
I hate to spoil this for you, but We have your drummer here right now.
Hey, Tom, it's me, Raph. I'm the drummer of your band, and you tricked me for music.
This is gonna get ugly, I think.
Oh no.
I am much upset with you. But I go back to Czechoslovakia. Poland.
But basically, how he's gonna find out that it's a cover is we're gonna do Rockin' for Dollars and be like, we're going to just tell him, oh, yeah, they told us we don't have to do a cover. We're just going to do these three songs. And he's going to be like, oh, okay, we'll do those three songs. And then when they bring us up, they're going to be like, oh, and a cover of this song. And he's going to be like, oh, what? It's going to be really great, actually.
You were about to start that impression again? No. Your face started getting red again. I was like, he's preparing.
When the band did an episode, Nick, he went to the bathroom and then he came back and he's like, "Hello, I'm Raph from Poland."
Their drummer didn't show up for the interview because he didn't have enough notice of like 3 weeks or whatever.
I don't have a clock. My life is in shambles. So fucking funny.
No timing from their drummer.
That's hilarious.
So, Cassius, where can people find your podcast?
They can find me at CassiusMorris.com. That's spelled CASSIUS. And I'm on Twitter under that same name, Cassius Morris, and Facebook.com/Cassius Show as well. And of course, YouTube. I'm putting up a lot of videos. And thank you guys for having me on.
You're on iTunes, though, right?
iTunes, yep, for iTunes. The podcast. Download. You can, and if you actually don't have iTunes and you want to download the show, you can get it on Podbean.com.
Podbean. Okay, yeah. Cool. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And it's insane. You've been doing it for 9 years. So
it's been a while.
It's good. And
thank you.
You've had some incredible guests, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
What episode do you recommend they start on?
If you're a KISS fan, the Eric Singer interview. We talked to me for 2 hours candidly about KISS. And otherwise, just whatever I put out most recently, I guess.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, man. Sweet. Yeah, our guest is here for the next episode. Hi, Tobin.
Hey.
So we're going to start that one. You're going to hang around for a little bit of that?
Sure.
Okay. So very much, ladies and gentlemen. Like us, comment, share, subscribe, and then you know all of the buttons. Push all of the buttons on whatever it is that you're listening to this on at the things. Touch my face, but not in public. Or what?
You panatinous pencil pusher.
Yep.
Corporate shield.
Good. Good.
Fucking it up.
Yeah.
Like,
seriously, fuck fashion book. I fucking hate that book.
Never heard of it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can check out my podcast at facebook.com/quickedslow.
And mine.
Yeah.
Bunch of fucking shills.
You got your...
Okay, guys, music is done by Ben Sounds. Go check out the Facebook page for all of our live podcasts and giveaways. Follow us on Twitter to get the fastest updates. And please give us some stars on iTunes. Hey, guys, thank you so much for listening to this. We had an amazing time making it, and I hope you guys enjoyed it half as much as we do. Keep on listening to podcasts in the free world. Good night or morning. Uh-oh.
Guys,
that's a normal thing.